pray for my message. I entitled this, Nothing is Too Hard for Your God. Does that sound like a good message? Yes. Well, at least Ingrid's enthusiastic. Yes. Does that sound like a good message? All right, thank you, Laura. So let's pray for a minute. Father God, we thank you that continually in your word you tell us nothing is too difficult for you. And Father, I pray that you would write that in my heart, write it in my brothers and sisters' hearts. Father, please inspire us, Lord, to attempt great things for you, like Terry exhorted us a couple of weeks ago. And Father, I just give this message to you. I pray your Holy Spirit would enable me to communicate your heart, your truth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So many of us were at Celebration Northeast, and we heard Terry Virgo preach. And he quoted from William Carey. William Carey was kind of like the first modern-day missionary from the West to go to India. And when he went there, it was really, really hard. And he had to labor years and years and years. But finally, you know, people started getting saved. And he came up with this quote, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. Amen. That's wonderful. So that's an attitude I'd like us to adopt, all right? And so my whole message today is going to try to encourage us, hey, we can do this. Now, Terry used an illustration that I'd like to begin with again, which is Jonathan and his armor bearer. It's a famous story in 1 Samuel 14. And I want to give us a little bit of background exactly what was happening then. Saul was king of Israel. The Philistines, country next door, was starting to overrun their country. And it says that there were no blacksmiths in Israel, that the Philistines had, whatever, either killed them or carried them away. It doesn't give us details, but it said we don't want them to be able to make swords and spears for themselves. It was noted that Jonathan and Saul were the only people who had swords. A large portion of the Jewish army had defected over to the Philistines, or they were hiding in caves. Now, if that's the setting, okay, here you and I are. Let's imagine we're in the Jewish army, and we're looking at the situation, and the Philistines are coming again. You know, how would you feel? We kind of feel like this isn't looking so good, right? So the point of the story is Jonathan and his armor bearer go over to engage the enemy. So let's read. I put it on your sheet here. It says, Jonathan said to the young man who was carrying his armor, come, let us cross over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. Perhaps the Lord will work for us. For the Lord is not restrained to save by many or by few. His armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Turn yourself, and here I am with you according to your desire. Now, I look at that, I think, what kind of crazy guy would go with one other man to engage like the enemy given those circumstances? Well, it's a crazy man who had great faith in God, right? And that's your first point. Jonathan was a man of great faith. He said, perhaps the Lord will work for us. God might do something, even though there's only two of us. And the amazing thing was his faith inspired his armor bearer. He said, I'm with you. Let's go for it. Let's see what will happen. And what seems crazy to us, God seems to like. And this is the second point, because God responds to faith in him. God responds. And that's what we see throughout Scripture. When people have faith, God responds. When there's a blind man, I just read this in Mark, and he hears that Jesus is going by. And it's like, oh, Jesus, the guy who heals everybody? He's like, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And everybody's saying, oh, shut up, you know. Jesus is going down. Jesus, have mercy. This is his one chance, right? I mean, this is it. He can't see Jesus. He doesn't know how to follow him. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Everybody's telling him to shut up. And then Jesus hears him and stops. Says, oh, bring him here. And then everybody's like, oh, hey, he's calling you. Come on. So he goes, and Jesus asks a kind of amazing question. He goes, what do you want me to do for you? And he says, Rabbi, Master, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said, your faith has saved you. And boom, he could see. God responds to faith. It's powerful. So we want to be that people of faith. So because of one man and his servant having faith, what happened was they were able to defeat like 20 enemy soldiers in this outpost. Then God sent an earthquake, and it says the earthquake kept growing and growing and growing until there was a fear everywhere. Then it says there was a confusion among the Philistines, and they actually started killing each other. And then the Jews saw that something was happening, and the ones who were in the Philistine army went back and joined the Jewish army. And then the ones who were hiding in the holes all came out, and they chased the Philistine army away. It was a huge victory. So one person with faith can make a big difference. Amen? And so let's encourage each other to have faith. That's why I wanted to pray when, you know, Michelle gets up and she makes it sound like, oh, yeah, you know, it's been 45 years knowing my mom a certain way and there's edges. I mean, obviously she's not going to go into all the details, but that's a long time to have a strain in a relationship with somebody. And it takes some faith to believe it can ever change. Hallelujah. That's why we want to pray for her. We want to say, yeah, we're with you. God can do it. He's not restrained to save by many or by few. So number three, I want us to adopt the mindset of Jonathan. And then my next point is, I was meditating on this. Scripture says God is not restrained to save by many or by few. And then since there's only a couple of guys, I said, God is not restrained to save by many or by two. He can work through two. And my next point is this. God is not restrained to save by many or by you. Do you know what I mean by that? Like we think, oh, God can't use me. Oh, I've got, you know, whatever. I'm too weak. I've got too many sins. I'll never forget this time we had a leaders meeting years ago, and there was a sister at the meeting, and she was sort of lamenting herself. And there's this brother from Nigeria, and he goes, sister, you are not too big for God. Do you get what he's meaning? Like, your problems aren't too big for God. You're not like the one person God just could never, ever use. No, God uses weak people. Do you guys remember when Terry was retelling the story of Abraham? He was pointing out how Abraham, on one hand, is this man of faith, but on the other hand, when he's afraid and they're going into Egypt, he tells his wife, like, well, say you're my sister, and so they don't kill me and take you away. So they see she's gorgeous, and like they start taking her to be Pharaoh's wife, and then God appears, and God says to him, the king, he says, have my prophet pray for you, and then everybody in your household will get better again. And Terry goes, yeah, the liar outside there. It was a great point. Like, God uses liars. God's not restrained to save by many or by you. I have faith that God can use you. I really do. I pray for you guys because I believe God can use you. Big ways, small ways, God can use you. He's not restrained. Hallelujah. Now, I wanted to give us a modern-day example of attempting great things for God. How many of you are familiar with China, and they have something called the one-child-only policy? Maybe you've heard of that. So China is a big country. They're trying to control their population. So they came up with what may, to the human mind, seem kind of rational. Hey, well, you can only have one kid. That's it. Now, we're going to watch a video. There's a ministry called All Girls Aloud that I'm actually now on the board of directors for. And they decided that that policy had a lot of evil consequences. And you're going to see that in the video. And so their goal as a ministry is to overthrow the one-child-only policy. So let's watch this video.
Under China's one-child policy, most couples are not allowed to have more than one child, and those who do lose their jobs, go to jail, or pay an impossibly large fine. The policy especially harms baby girls. Because of a cultural preference for sons, families try to make sure their one child is a boy. To get rid of girls, families abort them, kill them directly after birth, or abandon them. This systematic elimination of girls is called gendercide, and in China, one out of every six girls is lost. 37 million girls have disappeared since the one-child policy began in 1980. That's more than the number of people killed in all the major genocides of the past century combined. Without enough girls, China faces huge problems. Crime rates are soaring, child trafficking is now at a record high, domestic violence affects a third of all households, and suicide is the number one cause of death for young women in China. But when God created heaven and earth, He created man and woman. God blessed them. Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. But man and woman distrusted and disobeyed God. Paradise was lost. And three curses impacted all of humanity. Conflict between humans and the forces of evil. Strife between men and women. Pain in childbearing and the necessity for men to toil to provide for their families. The gendercide taking place in China and around the world is a manifestation of these curses at work. It's a grim reality, yet we have reasons to hope both the one-child policy and gendercide can end. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for our sins and break the curses separating humanity from God. Whoever believes in Jesus will now not perish, but have eternal life. All girls allowed believes in Jesus and follows Him in restoring life, value, and dignity to girls and mothers in China and beyond, and to help end the one-child policy. One of the ways we are following Jesus in His life-giving work is by delivering baby shower gifts to mothers in areas where gendercide is most common. We welcome daughters in Jesus' name by providing a monthly stipend to those mothers who choose to keep their baby girls. Mothers use the stipend to provide necessary nutrition, clothing, and shelter for their baby girls. Many baby girls have been born through the baby shower program, and we are already seeing transformation as girls are being valued in their villages. Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For he who is least among you all, he is the greatest." When we welcome children in Jesus' name, we are welcoming God, who adores children and gives them life. Jesus also said, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Gendercide ends in China and everywhere when helpless girls and mothers, the least of these, are restored to life, value, and dignity. When an infant girl orphan is supported, when a trafficked girl is reunited with her family, when a mother is defended against forced or coerced abortion, and when husbands sacrificially love their wives. Gendercide ends when injustices done in darkness are revealed, when we forgive those who act unjustly towards us, and when we right the wrongs we ourselves have done in the world. Are you ready to come to freedom by simply loving her in Jesus' name? Come and see how God healed our wounds and set us free from captivity. See the testimonies of women whose lives are changed. God wants to set you free, too.
Okay. That's quite a video. But it sums up the ministry. So again, let's take a step back. So you see this policy. If you're from China, you start understanding all the kind of repercussions that were described there. There's an imbalance. There's 37 million more men under the age of 40 in China than there are women. That really messes up a society. So now there's 37 million men who aren't going to find wives. So there's all this human trafficking, women into China, or little girls get kidnapped and they get taken away to cities until they get older, and then they're sold as wives. It's crazy. And I put here as your next point, remember when Pat told us about the issues of our day really come down to, back in Genesis 3, it's like there's a temptation. You can be like God. You can determine right and wrong for yourself. And so that's what China has done. And I put, when people play God, there's terrible consequences. The suicide rate is actually 5 times higher among young women in China than anywhere else in the world. Now, if you look at that amount of darkness, you think, what can one person possibly do? But what's our motto today? God's not restrained to save by many or by few, right? So there's a woman, Chai Ling. She was a natural-born leader. She was a leader in Tiananmen Square in 1989. She had to flee the country. She escaped, like, in this crate and shipped over to, I forget which island, you know, near island nation near China. Finally got to America, started her own business, which is a very prosperous software company. But she felt this pain in her soul, even though she was a famous person. She had had abortions, sexual abuse. She just didn't know the Lord. So even though she kind of made it in America, she was lost. And when she met the Lord Jesus, she had this faith that she could start something that would overthrow the one-child-only policy. So when I saw this video 3 or 4 years ago, Val Tracy, by the way, from City Church, made that video, and it's very well done. I thought, wow, you know, if this woman is kind of crazy enough to think she can do that, then I want to get behind her. Amen? I mean, when I see faith like that, I'm like, wow, you know, let's respond. There's a big turning point for the one-child-only policy shifting. There's been a big shift. It's actually, believe it or not, that policy is changing. And the biggest thing that changed it was 3 years ago, this is a very sad story. There's a woman, as they talked about, especially in certain areas, there are forced abortions. Like if you have your second child, they make you have an abortion. So there's this woman, and they were going to make her have an abortion, and they wanted to charge her husband what was amounted to like $15,000 American, which he didn't have. And she actually fled and was hiding with relatives, but the one-child-only policy people found her. And even though she was 7 months along, they forced her to have an abortion. And her sister-in-law was at the hospital, and the mother was lying with her dead baby next to her, and she took a picture on her cell phone. And she put it on the internet, and it went viral, and millions of people saw that picture. And it created a huge uproar in China, outside of China. And so the government was immediately defensive, and they said there'll be no more forced abortions in our country. They'd always been denying they were taking place, but now here's this vivid evidence. And then they started a change, and they said, well, from now on, people from a family with only one child can now have 2 children. So there's been this change. I think that's remarkable. I thought, wow. I'm sure Chai Ling's not the only person, you know what I mean, who is praying or acting on that, but there's a handful of people who believe God can do something extraordinary, and now it's happening before our eyes. That really blesses me. And so I'm going to send you this week an email with the picture that changed the policy. It's changing the policy. It's a little graphic. I got some feedback. People are like, oh, I don't think you should show that on a Sunday. But I'll send it to you because I want you to see it. And in fact, even now, as with Planned Parenthood, these videos, these undercover people went in and they pretended to be buying, body parts from little children. I've watched a couple of those videos. They are shocking. But I'm going to send you a link to it because I really encourage you to watch it. Some of us who pray outside abortion clinics, one of the things we've prayed for years is like, Lord, help people in America to see what really happens. And when you see a video of people at a Planned Parenthood and they're picking through a glass dish looking for body parts, it is shocking and gruesome. To sell, yeah. And all of a sudden you go, wow, this is what's happening. Do you know what I mean? There's power in a picture. So your next fill-in, God used a simple picture to cause a huge change. And I'll send you also along a little article my friend John Enzer wrote where there's a history of this, where when people start seeing what's happening, it creates an uproar. It's like people in the North like heard that, like, oh, blacks don't get to vote in the South and they're oppressed. But then when pictures come out of African-American men who are lynched and murdered and people see them, all of a sudden it's like they're stirred to action. So I just want to encourage you. It's very hard. It's very uncomfortable to kind of watch these things or hear these things, but that's what's happening. And so as believers, we have to be able to grapple with that and realize this is what is happening and say, okay, Lord, what can we do? First, we can pray, but people are changing the world because they have faith that God's big. Does that make sense? And again, like if you have questions or like, I don't know, Dave, ask me. You know, I mean, these are things we have to talk about and be able to discuss and share our thoughts because they're big, big issues. And I know growing up, I didn't think twice about an abortion. I mean, I just didn't really think much about it. I went through college, I didn't think about it. And then I read an article a friend of mine wrote, and I was reading it, and he was trying to present a biblical case for why this is bad. And then I, like, flipped the page in this newsletter, and it had this picture of a garbage pail with late-term aborted babies in it, and I was just, like, shocked. It overwhelmed me. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is happening. And I don't even know about it. I'm ignorant. I'm not doing anything. I felt sick to my stomach. But I'm glad I saw the picture. Even though it was really hard, I'm like, oh, like, this is something I need to have an opinion about. So I just want to encourage us. Can we wrestle with that as a people? I think it's important for us to be able to do that. And the next point, but the Planned Parenthood videos, to me personally, are a result of prayer. I mean, some of us literally for years, we'd pray, Lord, can you show people what really happens here? And now, pow. Here are these videos. People can watch it on their computer. So I'm actually thankful for that, even though it's difficult. All right, this is sobering. Why don't we just take a moment and pray? All right, I'm going to pray, and I want to continue on because I want us to have, my goal today is for us to have faith that God can do big things in the face of darkness. So, Father, I just want to pause, and I realize, Lord, watching, you know, the video of, wow, how awful the one-child policy is, talking about abortion, late-term abortions, it's sobering, Lord. It can weigh on us. And, Father, I pray that you would give us the grace to wrestle through our discomfort. It can create a heaviness. Lord, I pray that as we wrestle through, we would be able to talk to you and process it with you, with each other, and come away with a spirit of faith. Thank you that Chai Ling went through a lot of suffering, but she came out with faith that her God can overthrow this policy. Her God can heal women who've been forced to have abortions. Her God can bring families back together where children, daughters have been kidnapped and they found them and they can return them. Father, we thank you for that kind of faith and that kind of service to people in need. And Father, we want to be a people of faith. We want to be a people who take action. We want to be a people that you can use to bring healing in our broken world. And that's our heart, and that we would do it in Jesus' name, and that we would be peacemakers, we would be people who bind up broken hearts, we would be people who lead others to Christ. So I pray, Father, that you would encourage us, that you can use us in this way. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. There's another scripture I want us to look at. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made heaven and earth By thy great power and stretched out arm, there is nothing too hard for thee. How many of you are familiar with this verse? A lot of you. It's like a verse we love. And it's kind of interesting. The setting is Jeremiah's been prophesying that the Babylonian army is going to continue to overrun the country. They're sieging Jerusalem. And he predicted that would happen. And he's telling the king, look, if you surrender, it'll go well with you. Like, they'll just take us to Babylon. We're going to be there for 70 years. God's told me this is what's going to happen. We just need to surrender. At the same time, there were prophets and priests who worked in God's temple, and they said the exact opposite thing. They said, no, God is the Lord. He's mighty. Nothing's too hard for him. He's the creator of heaven and earth. We are going to defeat the Babylonians. And there's this one place in Jeremiah where this false prophet like smacks Jeremiah and he says something like, since when did the Spirit of the Lord leave me and go to you? Can you imagine if you were, you know, alive then? You're like, who's right here? I mean, this is like you're saying you're speaking for the Lord. You're saying you're speaking for the Lord. It's crazy. But, you know, we live in a little bit of that in our own age today. A lot of confusion about sexual immorality, abortion. Christians don't agree on this. I have a friend. He's spent a lot of time trying to convince me abortion's debatable, homosexuality is debatable. And so you're just kind of like reinterpreting scripture. I'm just sort of like, wow, this is kind of serious. You're going to find it too. You're going to have friends who are telling you that. You're going to have people who do all kinds of things. They say, wow, that's opposite of what scripture teaches us. And so we have to learn to wrestle with this. So we need to be students of the word. We need to be able to like talk to each other about like, well, I mean, what do you think about this? If you need help wrestling through it and processing it, by all means, get some. I preach about these kind of things because I realize they're things we read about, we hear about. And so I feel like if I don't talk about it, how are you going to be able to process it? That sound good? So is it okay if I keep talking about it? All right, good. Because we have to. We have to come to arrive at a point where we believe we know what God wants and then stand on that. Now, there was a time in World War II where all the churches in Germany were getting behind Hitler. And we look at that and say, how could that possibly happen? You know, those people, whatever, they were wimps. They weren't really Christians. Well, if you were living in Germany at that time, you might have found it's not quite so easy to say he was wrong. There's years of your country's oppressed. Hitler's a very dynamic man. And you get a few church people saying, no, this God's going to use this guy to like restore our country. And like, oh, wow, that would be great. We've been praying for that. And so there's a man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. If you ever want to be inspired, read books about Dietrich Bonhoeffer's life. And he and some other pastors said like, well, wait a second. No, this isn't biblical what is happening here. And one of Bonhoeffer's, Martin Niemöller, was thrown in jail by the Nazi government at one point. And a Christian pastor came to him, a friend. He goes, brother, he goes, what are you doing in jail? You know what Niemöller said? Brother, what are you doing not in jail? Do you see what I mean? It's like we're not the only generation where there's tough issues and like people are disagreeing and wondering what to do. It's like that's life in the world. The world's dark. But I want us to be a people that when we see darkness, we go to God and we conclude, you know what? This isn't too difficult for my God. Whether it's a big thing like the one-child-only policy or whether it's just a human relationship like Michelle shared about her family, maybe it's somebody at work, maybe it's just saying, wow, I'd like to be a light in my neighborhood, but I feel like I'm not or I don't know anybody. Begin to pray about it. Say, God, make me like Jonathan. Use me. Let me be someone that can bring you glory. God will honor that prayer. So number eight, in Jeremiah's time, there were contradictory words from the Lord. And so we have to learn to wrestle through that. When you see the darkness, the next point, think there is nothing too hard for my God. And so Jeremiah, he just had that attitude. He says, Lord, thou hast made heaven and earth. You can do it. It's not too hard for you. Amen. I think he had to wrestle. He spent years of his life prophesying something that didn't happen. And he got oppressed and beat up and thrown in jail. And finally it happened. So it's not always easy speaking the word of the Lord. But God's faithful. Using Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Dietrich Bonhoeffer had a very simple approach. He said, we need to be disciples of Jesus. We need to study the word of God and make sure we're living it out and be communities of people who do that together. Does that sound like Abundant Grace Church? Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. It makes me really happy when I read those things. So, well, that's what we're trying to do. So let's keep doing that. God is at work in us. Things in our society are going to shift. New things are going to happen. And if we're walking with God, we're going to see that by attempting great things for God, he will do great things to back up our faith. Praise God. So do you want to hear another story from China? Sure. Okay, good. I'm going to tell it anyways. There's a friend of mine, John Enzer. John Enzer used to pastor a little church in Dorchester. And it's a church, you know, and he was very faithful there, and the church never grew much. And they were the people who started A Woman's Concern, the Crisis Pregnancy Center. And then from there, A Woman's Concern started some other crisis pregnancy centers, and John became like full-time in that kind of ministry, and it's sort of he found his calling. Then he was invited by a national group to start crisis pregnancy centers down in Miami. I think Miami had, this greater Miami, I think had three crisis, or maybe only one crisis pregnancy center and like 30-something abortion clinics. And so they just said, gee, we need people to get out there who are available to minister to women who are scared. He had success there. Then his daughter was a missionary in China. He went to visit her. She introduced him to a house church leader in an underground church. He shared about his ministry in America. He goes, wow, I think my senior leader would like to meet you and hear about that. So this guy connected him to a man who was the leader of 1 million underground Christians in China. And then that guy introduced him to another person who's over another 1 million underground Christians in China. The message he shared was a message I gave 2.5 years ago on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, what Scripture teaches about life. So life in the womb, life till we die. You guys have heard the message. What, you know, in China, no one's heard that message. It's kind of interesting because when I look at the church in China, I think these people are persecuted. These people have multiplied churches all over. China is like one of the fastest growing places for the church in the world today. I mean, sometimes, you know, you look at that, I feel like, wow, you know, gosh, we're so slow and kind of, we're slow and steady, praise the Lord, but you feel sort of inferior. But it turns out, because all these people grew up in a communist nation, nobody thought abortion was wrong. So Christians all get abortions, everybody gets abortions, it's not a big deal. So John was introduced to speak at some churches, and every place he preached his what Scripture teaches about life message, guess what happened? People started weeping. Nobody argued with him. Nobody tried to say, oh, the Bible doesn't really say that. The Holy Spirit, people everywhere start weeping. Women who had abortions. Men who took women to get abortions. Just the Holy Spirit convicted them. So he came up with an idea to try and reach, in 2014, 1 million Chinese believers with a message of life. How's that for attempting great things for God? Yeah, it's pretty big. They came up with all these little plastic unborn baby models that would fit in the palm of your hand. It's like a 10-week child from the womb. They made 100,000 of those. They made DVDs, I forget how many thousand DVDs, with a message on it. He went, they gathered leaders from all the big cities, He preached the message to them. They went back to their cities, preached the message to all the house church leaders. All the house church leaders preached the message to all the cell group leaders. All the cell group leaders preached it to all the people. They missed their target. They only reached like 700 or 800,000 believers last year. Isn't that awesome? So God is using my friend John, who just pastored this little church down in Dorchester that didn't seem like much. He's impacting the world. Wow. We actually have something. There's things that we have. In the video talked about family. Like, people over there don't know how to have Christian families. Husbands don't know how to treat their wives. It's like we actually have things to offer people that we forget. In our society, increasingly, people like Abundant Grace Church people are going to be able to help people about this is what a marriage is, and this is how you live together, and this is how you like raise children, because our society is getting increasingly broken. You have what other people need. So on the one hand, I have one friend trying to convince me that abortion's debatable and it's not really against Scripture. I've got another friend who this year they sought out to reach another million Chinese people. They did the same thing again. So they're approaching 2 million. I'm thinking, like, which person do I want to be like? I want to be like John Enzer. He's standing on the Word of God. He's not afraid to, like, tell Christians that what they've been doing is wrong. That's a hard thing to do. But he's a man who's full of grace. He's not condemning. And so he tells people the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. That's his message. The Holy Spirit did the convicting. He just preached it. So there's a powerful movement taking place through a friend of ours. All right, let me close out with some smaller examples. I mean, I've been kind of using big-time examples, attempting great things for God. How many of you remember Emily Corcoran from our church? Most of you knew Emily. Some of you maybe haven't met her. Wonderful sister, served in our church, played on the worship team. She worked in a lab getting her PhD. I gave a message about reaching out to people around you, believing God could use you to befriend someone. And so she said, okay, and she prayed about it, and the person God brought to her mind was the guy that everybody can't stand in her lab. And she's like, oh, no. She's like, Lord, not Mr. Annoying. That was his nickname. But, right, Steph, she didn't let that deter her. She talked to the guys. They like bumped into each other at lunch. They had coffee together. She went to a movie with them. She even brought him to a church service one time. And I was really nervous because she had shared at the microphone, like people are sharing today, about Mr. Annoying. And then she's introduced people later to like this guy from her lab. I was so worried somebody's going to say, are you Mr. Annoying? I don't think that happened, praise the Lord. I was so proud of Emily. That's a hard thing to do. But God gave her the grace. So she, and this guy asked about her faith. He was very interested in her faith. She shared the gospel with him. She got to plant a seed. It's one thing to share the good news with someone. But how much more impact does it have when everybody else is avoiding you except a believer in Jesus? Hello? There's some power there. Like, you're the one person who, like, actually wants to be nice to me and get to know me. Amen. So, friends, I'm just inspired by that. I'm inspired by Anna Niebuhr. You know, I asked Anna a few months ago if she could lead worship when Ed was in here one time. She goes, Dave, I've never led worship in front of, like, a big group of people. She goes, I like worshiping on my own, and I can do with a few people. Hey, if you don't want to, that's okay. She goes, well, okay, she tried it. We've gotten together a couple times. We've talked. She goes, you know, I don't kind of do it the way Ed Hodge does it, and I kind of like to worship and then pray. And I said, well, that's okay. I mean, I don't want you to try and be who you're not, but at the same time, you're leading a bunch of people, so you can't just get lost in your own little world. And so we had a very good conversation, and like Anna got up here the last 2 weeks and led us in worship. I really appreciate that. She had to attempt something. Yeah, there you go. She had to attempt something that was beyond her. She'd never done it before. My daughter-in-law, Betsy, most of you know Betsy Hill. She had an idea for a coffee shop. And she prayed about it. And she was like, Lord, I've been thinking about this. There are these empty storefronts right across from where we meet, and it'd be so great to have like a business there with Christians. She goes, but Scripture says, unless the Lord builds the house, what? They labor in vain. She goes, I certainly don't want to like labor in vain. And she felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, if you undertake it, I'll build it. So she went for it. And she talked to Marian Nerona, our friend up in Portsmouth, and she was part of his teaching, you know, a little seminar he gave on starting a business. And that first year, it was hard. They were losing money, and, you know, it's just, but they got through, and they're starting to make, they're making money now. Praise God. Attempt great things for God. God can use you. He's not restrained by many or by you. Look to the person next to you. I want you to say this to somebody. Repeat after me. God is not restrained to save by many or by you. All right. Could we do that song like it's rising up all around, the anthem of the Lord's renown? I just think that's the spirit I want us to have as we leave here today. God's glory is rising in Boston. It's rising through ordinary people who adopt an attitude that nothing is too difficult for my God. Can we say amen to that? Amen.